A pickpocket, Chas V'Shalom, is such a ganef that he could reach into your pocket and take out your stuff so fast and so tricky that you don't even know that his hand went in his pocket, in your pocket. You don't even know that he put his hand in your pocket and that anything is missing until later. Now, this is such a real thing. You better be, you know, you should know about this. You could be walking down the street, a crowded street in Manhattan, and all of a sudden somebody bumps into you very quickly. Boom. I'm sorry, excuse me. And in that 1 second, he could have put his hand in your pocket and taken something out. And you have no idea, because they're so tricky and so quick, that he did that. And only when you get home, you reach into your pocket to take out your wallet. Where's my wallet? Hi. And this is what a pickpocket does. And of course, you know, they catch these people and they put them into jail. And in this room, they put all the pickpockets in one room. And all of a sudden, the guard, he opens the window. There's like a little peephole that he looks in from the outside. And he sees that all of the pickpockets, all of the pickpockets are playing cards. Every one of them. They're all playing cards in the whole place over there. Everybody is playing cards. Oh, the guard gets upset. Look at them. They're all breaking the rule. I'm going to get them in trouble. Ooh. And he puts his key in the door, and he opens up the door, and he goes in. And all of a sudden, he doesn't see anybody playing cards. In fact, he doesn't even see one card. One of them is reading, and somebody else is playing with his toys. I don't know what they're doing over there. They're doing something else. Somebody else is talking. Somebody else is eating. Nobody is playing with cards, and he doesn't even see a card. The guard rubs his eyes. Maybe I was dreaming or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm tired. How could it be that a minute before I look in the window and everybody's playing cards, and I come in and I don't see a thing? Man, must be that... I'm very tired. Maybe I was just imagining it. And he goes out, and he goes around inspecting the other rooms. And then it bothers him, you know. I really thought I saw that. Let me go back and have another check. And he goes back to the room of the pickpockets, and he opens up the peephole, and he looks in. Everybody is playing cards. Mamish, everyone. Everybody is playing cards. There are hundreds of cards in that room, and they're all playing cards. The pickpockets. And he rubs his eyes, and he pinches himself to see if he's not sleeping. He's not sleeping. And he rubs the glass over there to make sure it's clean, that it's not, you know, that he's not seeing something else, and it's clean. And he says, I'm sure that the pickpockets are playing cards. I'm going to go in there and get him in trouble for breaking the rules of the jail. And he opens the door, and he comes in, and not one of them is playing cards. They're all, you know, reading and playing with their toys and eating and talking. He doesn't even see a card. Wait a minute. This time I know that I saw you playing cards. And a pickpocket says, us playing cards? Don't you know that's against the rule? We wouldn't do such a thing like that. I saw you. And the pickpockets say, well, you might as well, you know, leave. I mean, you don't see any cards now. And the guard says, I'm going to search the whole place. I'm going to search the whole place until I find those cards. And he starts searching the place. First of all, he searches the pockets of the pickpockets. No cards in their pockets. Not one card. He searches their cupboards. They have like little places to put their stuff. He doesn't find a card. He searches in the beds under the mattress. Maybe they hid them. He searches in their shoes. He searches in their pillows. He searches in any place they could stick the cards. He doesn't find a card. Wait a minute. This is very fishy. And then Kenalach, he had nothing to do because the imamish searched everywhere. And he left. And he goes walking around the jail. He imamish, it's bothering him. He's nervous now. And he says, Now it's impossible that they're playing with cards because they didn't even have one card, and I searched the whole place. So I wonder what they're doing now. And he goes back to the room, and very quietly he opens the window. He looks inside. They're all playing cards. Every single pickpocket is playing cards. Everyone. He can't believe this. And so quietly he puts the key in the lock, and he's going to go inside and get them all in trouble. And he goes through the door and he comes in. And as soon as he comes in, not one card. Not one card. Nobody's playing cards. And he could not stand it anymore. The guard had to find out what's going on. And he lined them up. And he said, nobody's going to move. I'm going to search every single one of you, high and low, everywhere. And he searched them. And he still couldn't find cards. He looked in their beds, under their beds, in their shoes, in their slippers. He looked in every tiny place, upside down, everywhere. The ceiling. He tried walking on the ceiling to try to find everything. He was crawling on the floor. He was under every little tiny place. And he still could not find. Finally, the guard said to the prisoners, all right. Finally. The guard said, I can't stand it anymore. I am so curious. I have to find out, where in the world are those cards? And he says to the prisoners, you have to tell me. You must tell me. And in fact, if you tell me, I will take away the rule and I'll even let you play cards, at least for a while. So, please tell me, where are the cards? And the head of the pickpocket smiled and he said, okay, but remember that if we tell you, you have to let us play cards. Okay? He walks over to the guard and he reaches his hand into the guard's own pocket and he pulls all of the cards out of the guard's own pocket. The pickpockets, they hid it in the pocket of the guard himself. His own pocket. It's the only place where he never even thought to look because it's on him. His own pocket. He never thought that on him himself would be the cards. That was the hiding place. A place that was not expected at all. Kenelach, this is of course a story about a guard and a jail and pickpockets and cards, and very interesting story. But this is also a story about Mashiach. Who is ready to hear about Mashiach? Kenelach, it says, Mashiach is going to come. Mashiach is going to come. The Hesech Hadas. In a very unexpected way. Nobody's going to figure out exactly how Mashiach is going to come. And no matter how we try to figure it out, Hashem is going to surprise us. He's going to come in a way that nobody exactly could figure out. This is a thing from Hashem. And number two, Kenelach, the coming of Mashiach is the most halik thing in the whole world. It's such a halik thing that the whole world is going to change and be good. And of course, somebody is going to lose his job when Mashiach comes. He's going to lose his job forever. He'll be lucky to even find a gas station to go find a job in. Who is going to be wiped out from the world and thrown out of his job? Who? The Yetzirah. And Kenelach, the Yetzirah, he now goes to try to find ways to stop Chas v'Shalom, Mashiach from coming, because he does not want to lose his job. So he is trying to find all kinds of ways to stop Mashiach from coming. Where does he go? He goes to everything halik, and he tries to stop it, and he tries to mess it up, and he tries to do things that Chas v'Shalom, these things will not be the right way, and Mashiach will chas v'shalom not come. So he is always going around looking to see, how can I stop a mitzvah? How can I stop somebody from learning Torah or davening nicely or behaving nicely or having kibud av v'eim and all the things that we're supposed to do, and he tries to mess it up? Kinelach, one of the tricks that, I'll talk very quietly, we don't want the Yetzihara to really listen and hear what we're saying, because this is a secret right now. One of the tricks of Hashem on the Yetzihara, as he's looking all around to stop, Chas Shalom, all the good things from happening, is Hashem is bringing Mashiach not only from Torah and Mitzvahs, straight from Torah and Mitzvahs, but he is bringing the Mashiach also from the pocket of the Yetzihara himself. Now, Kinelach, it says that Mashiach will come in an unexpected way. We're not going to figure out how he comes. Unexpected. And it also says that, like we learned here, Mashiach will come from the pocket of the Yetzihara. Now, we know that what we do in the world, let me start like this. It says in Tillim that Hashem is our shadow. Hashem Tzilcha. What does it mean Hashem is our shadow? It means that the way we act makes certain things happen to Hashem, just like the way you go makes your shadow go with you. Now, how do you go with your shadow? You go to the right, which way does your shadow go? You go to the left, which way does your shadow go? Okay, can you ever run away one way and you leave your shadow standing there? Or the shadow goes exactly like you? All right. The way we behave makes, Kinelach, a certain way that Hashem will behave, according to the way we behave. For example, if we're nice to people, if we're kind to people, how will Hashem behave back to us? Nice and kind, right? If we help people, how will Hashem behave towards us? Helping us. If we see something wrong about somebody else, but we don't get upset, we like them anyway, what will Hashem do when he looks at us that we're doing something not so good? Will he get upset at us, or he'll love us because we love somebody else? Okay. In other words, our behaving causes things to happen by Hashem in a certain way back to us. Now, we learned that Mashiach is going to come in an unexpected way. That means that there's some kind of a way that we should serve Hashem also in an unexpected way. And by serving Hashem in an unexpected way, from the pocket of the Yetzihara, this hopefully will help. Of course, it's up to Hashem to bring Mashiach. We can't bring Mashiach ourselves. We need Hashem to bring Mashiach. But there's something that we can do that to show Hashem this is all we're trying to do with our part. If we do our part, Hashem, please do your part. So our part is going to be serving Hashem in an unexpected way, even from the pocket of the Yetzihara. Now, how can we do that? So how about this? Mommy comes into the room. The room's a mess. There's toys all over the place. And Mommy knows many times she'll say, please pick up the toys and clean up the room. And she knows she'll have to come back about 3 or 4 times because you're going to be still coloring or still playing around and the toys will not be picked up. Until Mommy knows she'll have to, sometimes get very upset. And only then, after a whole long thing with the kids, finally then she gets the toys picked up. Why don't you do something unexpected? There are two ways you could do it. Either the first time Mommy says, you clean up the toys. And the second time she comes in the room, she says, look, it's so beautiful. I'm so happy. The toys were picked up and I only had to say once. Or a bigger unexpected way Mommy comes in the first time to tell you to pick up the toys, and they already are picked up because you know you're supposed to pick them up. You didn't even wait for her to tell you. All of a sudden she comes in, look, the place is beautiful. Everything is put away, and I didn't even have to ask once. I didn't expect this. Yeah, the Yetzirah also didn't expect it. He expected there should be arguments and fights, and everybody should say, Chani should put away the toys. No, Shmuley should put away the toys. And everybody blames everybody else for taking them out. Wait a minute. You went, L'chatchila River, put everything away, and nobody expected it. What do you think is going to happen? Mashiach will come close, very fast, in an unexpected way. Or, what about by Yosef HaTzadik? What did he do when his brothers were so mean to him? And finally, he was the ruler of Mitzrayim, and he could have gotten them back. Oh boy, he could have gotten them back. But what did he do? Something completely unexpected. You know what he did? He was nice to them instead. Oh boy, what a big, big mitzvah. Unexpected. Everybody knows, Kinalach, we have a Yetzer Toiv, and we also have a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Toiv, Kinalach, what he loves is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. This is what the Yetzer Toiv wants the whole day, and even at night, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. This is what the Yetzer Toiv wants. The Yetzer Toiv loves to be in shul, to be in yeshiva, to have a sefer open. Then there's the Yetzer Hara, Kinalach. Where is the Yetzer Hara in the Himmel looking to make trouble? He says, look, who's going to bring Mashiach? The Neshama. When the Neshama is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, this is a halakha thing. It's going to bring brachas into the world, halakhait, and bring Mashiach. So I'm going to put all of my koyach to stop the neshama from learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. So when the boy opens up the sefer, right away the finger, instead of pointing, could go into the desk and start playing around with something. Or even if the finger is inside, the boy's eyes might be looking out the window at the birdie instead of looking at the word. Because the Yetzer Hara is trying to stop him from looking inside. And he might be looking inside, but his mind might be somewhere else, thinking about something else, because the Yetzer Hara is saying, hey, why don't you think about your snack? Or think about what you're going to have for lunch? Or think about toys? Or think about something that happened yesterday that was a fun thing? Or think about what's going to happen tomorrow, or in 2 weeks, or in the summer? So he tries to get your mind to be away from the Torah. Okay? The Yetzer Hara is always finding tricks when a person is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. But this is where we get to the pocket of the Yetzer Hara. What is the thing that the Yetzer Hara himself likes to do? Play, eat, sleep, go walking, go shopping, buying things. Okay? All kinds of fun things. Now, Kinalach, what the Yetzer Hara doesn't know is that a Yid has an avoida, a serving Hashem, from the Yetzer Hara himself. In other words, when we're playing, the Yetzer Hara could think, they're just playing, now I'm not going to bother them so much. You know why? Because they're not learning or davening now, and they're not doing a mitzvah, they're just playing around. Now I can go off and have a rest, and I'll just let them play. Now, Kinalach, do you know how many mitzvahs you can do while you're playing? Sharing. Or if you see a boy, there might be a new boy in the class who wasn't in your class last year, and you see him by himself in the corner or by his desk or in the part of the playground by himself, and he's not playing anybody. You could go over and invite him and say, hey, why don't you come and play with us? Instead of him being lonely and feeling bad that he's all alone and nobody's paying attention to him. So all of a sudden, during playtime, there's a mitzvah. Or you have a snack and you share your snack. Or somebody fell down and you help them up. Or somebody got their pants caught on the bike and you help them get their pants not caught in the bike. There's so many things you can do during playing time. Oy, the Yetzer Hara didn't chapzich that during the playing, you are serving Hashem. It's bringing Mashiach from the pocket of the Eitz Hara. He's not expecting this. Or eating. Oh, he's eating now. I'll leave him alone. I mean, you know, after all, he's eating, and the Eitz Hara likes to eat too. But wait a minute. A Yid makes a bracha with kavana. He eats edel. He eats nice, and not chas shalom, not in a not nice way. And he has the kavana that the eating is not just because to feel good or to make him feel good, but it's to give him koyach to serve Hashem. And later on, he's going to learn and daven and do mitzvahs with the koyach. And he makes a bracha achrayna, and he might share part of his food. Hey, wait a minute. With eating, he's serving Hashem. Or a person goes shopping in the store. Oh, yeah. The Eitz Hara says, I'll leave him alone now. He's shopping. He's just buying things in the store. What's the big deal? He's not learning or davening or doing mitzvahs. Wait a minute. A boy is standing in line, and he might have a lot of things. And there might be, let's say, an older person that has only one thing, and they say, or maybe a big Talmud Chacham comes in the store, and you know that this person, every minute is very important by him to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. You know, if you can, you let him go ahead of you in the line, or the person, the older person, instead of having to stand so long, you let him go ahead of you in the line, you're doing a mitzvah, even while you're shopping. You might help somebody carry something, or you might reach for something for somebody. You're doing a mitzvah while you're shopping. Or you might be shopping to help somebody else. You go shopping for somebody else. That's also a mitzvah. The Eitz Hara doesn't chapsich. Hey, wait a minute. This boy is doing mitzvahs while he's shopping. Or while they're playing. Or while they're eating. Or while they're having fun. So this is also a way to bring Mashiach from the pocket of the Eitz Hara. In the times that he doesn't expect that you should be actually serving Hashem and doing mitzvahs, you're doing mitzvahs even then. And there are people that use out their extra time, their play time, they use that out to go to an old age home, to help old people, or to go to a hospital and to visit sick people. They take away from their own time that they could be having other fun, and they say, I'm going to serve Hashem from this time. Oh, the Eitz Hara didn't chapsich. I thought he was just playing. What? He went to a hospital or an old age home to help people? Oy vey, I didn't know that. And in this way, we're helping to bring Mashiach from the pocket of the Eitz Hara. Okay, now we're having ideas from the boys how we could bring Mashiach from the pocket of the Eitz Hara in a way he's not expecting, in a way that looks like a Eitz Hara thing, but we're making it into a Eitz Hara Toiv thing.
When you eat, you could have a little chumash in your pocket to learn chumash.
Okay, very good. That while you're eating, you're also thinking Torah. You could have a chumash there, or you could have something in your head that you're thinking. Or when you're walking down the street. How could a person just walking down the street, and the Eitz Hara thinks, well, he's just walking down the street, how can you do something then also to help bring Mashiach?
Think Torah in his head. You could be driving in a car and the Eitz Hara will think you're just driving a car and you could be thinking of Torah and mitzvahs.
Very good. Or how many boys have in their car sometimes a tape recorder or a tape deck and they're listening to Torah stories or Torah things when they're going in the car and they're not just stum driving or not just listening to the news or just other radio things. They're using driving in the car as a way to learn and come close to Hashem. And the Eitz Hara thinks, they're just driving the car. These little things, Kinalach, very good. And by the way, I'll tell you a very interesting thing before we go on. I know a man who came in the yeshiva and he made a siyum. He made a siyum one night and he said he's making a siyum on the whole Tanakh. He learned through the whole Tanakh with the Meforshim, with the ones who explain. What did he do? On the subway in the morning going to work and the subway coming back at night, only on the subway, in 8 years, he learned through the entire Tanakh. So, he used a time where the Eitz Hara thinks, well, look, the man is riding in the subway. He's just going in a subway to work. and he's coming home. He was using that as a time that he's actually learning the whole Tanakh. And he made a siyum on it, and it did it 8 years. He did it in 8 years, little bit by little bit.
When somebody's driving in a car, he could go and do shviches.
Okay, you're actually going to help somebody driving your car, using the car for a mitzvah?
One time you could be playing and you could have a chumash or a siddur in your pocket and you could just pull it out and start davening.
Okay, in other words, just in the middle of playing a chaperein, a little bit of learning or davening.
You could be driving in a car and you could have a pushka and get stuck and a siddur and a chitas.
Very good. In your car, you give tzedakah, and of course we say tefillah sederach if we go on a long trip. We use our car as a place for mitzvahs. The yitzhar might chabzich.
Because if someone goes in his car and the yitzhar says, oh, he's just driving his car and he could go and visit someone who's not feeling good.
Okay, he uses the car for bigger chaylim.
If somebody's driving a car, then if you see somebody walking on the sidewalk, the man in the car could ask them if they need a ride.
Very good. You see a person that needs a ride, you pick them up instead of just thinking about yourself. You're using a car ride as a way to do a mitzvah.
If there's somebody sitting on a chair and he's younger, and there's somebody older than you wants to sit down, you should stand up for them.
Excellent. Or if you're in a bus and an older person or even a non-Jew, even a goy comes carrying packages or a woman with a baby, it's a big kiddush Hashem that you should get up and let them sit down. You're just going on a bus or a train or a subway, but you're doing a mitzvah and it's a kiddush Hashem. Very well said.
Once we're driving a car, we had no gas. My brother said to him, and then we didn't stop.
Uh huh. So the Tehillim saved you from stopping for no gas, right? And you made it to the gas station. Baruch Hashem.
If someone doesn't have any money and Sayyid and he wants to buy things for mitzvah, then you could give him money to have things for Yid and to daven.
Okay, in other words, giving money, doing mitzvahs with money instead of just buying nash. In other words, at times when the Yetzirah doesn't expect it, this will bring Mashiach in a way that is unexpected. But Mashiach will come. First of all, of course, you know from one of the stories that what is the best prize for Torah? It's a prize because you learn Torah, or it's the learning of Torah itself? I mean, because you get a piece of chocolate for answering a question in Torah, or because you answered a question in Torah, that's the best prize. That's the best thing you can have, is Torah itself, right? When the little boy comes for the Arayin Firanish, and they have candy, and especially they have honey cake, and honey and delicious sweet things. So one way is that you tell the kid, just like the honey and the cake is sweet, so the Torah is sweet also, right? You lick the honey, oh yeah, it's so delicious and sweet. Little boy, you know what? The Torah is sweet like honey, even sweeter. The little boy eats the honey cake. You know how delicious this cake is? And usually it has frosting and it's so delicious. Do you know just how delicious this cake is? You know what's also delicious? Torah, even more delicious. Akinalach, you know what is a little bit deeper to explain to you? That where does the sweetness of the honey and where does the honey cake and all the delicious sweet tastes of cake and candy come from? You know where it comes from? From the sweetness of the Torah. Because the Torah is sweet, and because Hashem is good, and all sweetness and goodness comes from Hashem, And everything comes from the Torah. Like we learned that before a builder builds a building, first he makes a plan on a paper. He makes exactly the picture of the building. This is called an architect. And then he looks into the plan, he looks into the picture, and then he builds every part of the building and every room and every window and every last thing is in the picture. So, it says, Kinalach, that the Torah is the blueprints, the plan for the whole world. Hashem looks into the Torah and creates the world, and everything you have in the world first is in Torah. So if you have sweet things in the world and delicious cakes and candies, where does it come from? From the Torah. The sweetness comes from the Torah. So the best and the sweetest thing you can have is the Torah itself. Right? The best and the sweetest thing is the Torah itself.